My name is Taco. I want to say shout out to all the raccoons on campus. You're listening to CGSF 90.1 FM on Burnaby.
Welcome. Welcome, children, to the Church of Stop Shopping. And we're recording this sermon for the Earth Riot radio shows. I want to welcome the people listening on the radio, on the computer. What do we have right now? What are we facing together? Whatever crisis we have, they call it the meta crisis, they call it the sixth extinction. Some people just say, well, it's climate change. Lots of different names for what is going on, but what we have is 25 straight months of record heat. Every month, unprecedented. The scientists are trying to tell us that, well, there hasn't been a July this hot in 150,000 years. There hasn't been a January this hot in 600 lifetimes. We just hear these extraordinary statements coming from people. And it just washes over us. We don't take the actual seriousness. We don't get it down into our ordinary moments. By the time we're having stray thoughts and kind of just sitting in a chair or just walking down the sidewalk, we don't admit that the air, the water, and the soil is poisoned to this extent. We might get it, but we don't get it enough. And I think that we know in our souls that we don't have what it takes to change things. We don't think we can change things. We don't think we can be strange enough. The kinds of changes that we would have to be a part of would be risky. Some of us would die. We'd get shot.
Tonight, we made history. In the words of Nelson Mandela, it always seems impossible until it is done. My friends, we have done it. I will be your Democratic nominee for the mayor of New York City.
If you miss the train I'm on, you will know that I am gone. You can hear the whistle blow 100 miles.
just a girl from India. I am a girl from Earth. You are deciding whether or not we will have a chance to live in a habitable world. You are deciding whether or not we are worth fighting for, worth supporting, and worth caring. Many of my generation are angry and frustrated at leaders who have made empty promises and failed to deliver. And we have every reason to be angry. But I have no time for anger. I want to act. I'm also a student, innovator, environmentalist, and entrepreneur. But most importantly, I'm an optimist. Today, I ask, with all due respect, that we stop talking and start doing.
Here we are in the middle of the show. Just thought I would say hello. I'm going to get on that F train, get on the subway now on a Sunday morning and go join my Quaker comrades. We sit in silence for an hour and let the wonder and mystery of creation come into us. No telling what happens when you sit there. No telling what kind of memory's going to spring up. Long dead friends and relatives. I've got some gospel music going on in the kitchen. I spent a lot of my life escaping from Christianity, but I spent a lot of my life walking toward the earth. We're deprived very early on in most of our Western middle-class households, deprived of Mother Earth, Father Earth, deprived of the awe and wonder that creation can give us, that is such a comforting way to be in life, just to love the complexity and beauty of this place where we are. And of course, in the Stop Shopping Church, we feel that it is a motivating influence on our activism as we go into fossil banks, singing unasked for concerts and handing out information about the investments, the deadly investments of J.P. Morgan Chase and UBS and Bank of America. And we have a job to do here. We feel the assignment coming to us from that wonder and appreciation that we feel when we're walking through a forest and just asking for the signals. We feel the encouragement to represent that forest in that lobby of that bank. Hallelujah. Let our worship take that form. All right? Let's accept that beauty and a wonder and delicate, powerful complexity of nature. Let it fill our bodies. We're a part of that. We are the earth. That's why we can do this with so much feeling. Somebody give me an earth hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. July 21st was the hottest day ever registered globally. The Copernicus Climate Change Service said the global average surface air temperature of 17.09 degrees Celsius or 62.7 degrees Fahrenheit was the warmest in their record books, which go back to 1940. It comes on top of a streak of unprecedented global heat recorded over the past 13 months. An 8.8 magnitude earthquake struck off the coast of Russia's far eastern Kamchatka region, prompting tsunami warnings across the Pacific coast. Hours later, the Kluchevskoy volcano in Russia's far east erupted, spewing red-hot lava down its western flank. In Oregon, dozens of native youths completed a 310-mile source-to-sea paddle, the first full descent of the Klamath River in over a century. The journey was made possible by the removal of four major dams along the Klamath River, the largest dam removal project in history. The first descent was led by youth from the Yurok, Karuk, Hoopa Valley, Modoc, and Klamath tribes. Many trained for years before embarking on the month-long journey from the river headwaters in southern Oregon to the Pacific Ocean. As their brightly colored kayaks emerged through the fog, the paddlers were met with cheers and tears from families, elders, and supporters gathered at the river's mouth. With the river flowing freely and sediment cleared, the salmon are already returning. Animal shelters around the U.S. are reporting they are seeing a number of dogs being put up for rescue because their owners have either been deported or detained on immigration-related issues. The United Nations 2025 State of Food Security and Nutrition in the World report found more than 307 million Africans and 39 million people in the greater Middle East faced hunger in 2024. The worst-case scenario of famine is currently playing out in the Gaza Strip. Conflict and displacement have intensified, and access to food and other essential items and services has plummeted to unprecedented levels. Mounting evidence shows that widespread starvation, malnutrition, and disease are driving a rise in hunger-related deaths. The latest data indicates that famine thresholds have been reached for food consumption in most of the Gaza Strip and for acute malnutrition in Gaza City. In a recent study published in Scientific Reports, researchers examined the plastic waste produced by three major beverage companies, Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, and Nestle. Of all the plastic produced by these three companies since 2000, roughly 60 million metric tons ended up as pollution on land, and roughly 20 million metric tons became aquatic pollution. Despite each company making public commitments to reduce plastic waste, only 8 to 11% of the plastic products were recycled, with up to 58% becoming pollution. These three companies could produce nearly 340 additional million metric tons of plastic by 2050, which would burden countries with an estimated $100 billion U.S. dollars in cleanup costs. Routine radiation checks at the Savannah River site, a Department of Energy facility originally established in the early 50s for the production of nuclear weapons materials, have uncovered a wasp nest measuring 10 times the federal limit on radiation. Inspectors discovered the empty nest on July 3rd on a post beside 43 underground tanks storing 34 million gallons of liquid nuclear waste. Officials say the spike stems from long-standing on-site contamination rather than a new leak. Scientists working on Norway's Svalbard archipelago in February found thawed permafrost and active methane-spewing microbes during what should have been the depths of winter. February temperatures reached 40 degrees Fahrenheit on Svalbard, melting snow and pooling water in a month that normally averages 5 degrees Fahrenheit. Thawed soils awakened methanogenic bacteria that emit methane, while an ice crust trapped the gas and intensified Arctic feedback loops. Loss of sea ice and moisture-laden clouds mean the archipelago is warming 6 to 7 times faster than the global average. Permafrost locks away twice the carbon now swirling in the atmosphere. But when it thaws, that frozen stockpile turns into carbon dioxide and methane, the latter warming the planet more than 80 times as much as CO2 over 20 years. An energy company and AI developer plan to build a data center near Cheyenne, Wyoming, that could grow to 5 times the state's total household electricity use. The Tallgrass and Crusoe project would start at 1.8 gigawatts of electricity use and could scale up to 10 gigawatts, dwarfing Wyoming's total residential demand. Wyoming exports most of its energy and relies heavily on coal, oil, and gas, though the data center plans to draw on both natural gas and renewables. The scale of electricity needed to power AI computing centers is remaking energy markets. Facilities that once ran quietly in the background now rival entire states in consumption, forcing utilities to rethink grid capacity. The Associated Press is reporting that trawling near Antarctica for krill, a crustacean central to the diet of whales and a critical buffer to global warming, has surged to a record and is fast approaching a never-before-reached seasonal catch limit that would trigger the unprecedented early closure of the remote fishery. In the first 7 months of the 2024-25 season, krill fishing in Antarctica reached 518,000 tons, about 84% of the 620,000-ton limit that once reached will force the fishery to automatically close. Krill is one of the most abundant marine species in the world, with an estimated biomass of 63 million metric tons. It is also a critical food source for many aquatic animals, including whales. Three humpback whales were found dead or seriously injured last year in the long, cylindrical nets deployed by the trawlers. Krill are also a carbon sink. They remove and store 20 million tons of carbon from the atmosphere every year, the equivalent of taking 5 million cars off the road. And now, the sound of extinction, groundwater. Earth's continents have experienced unprecedented freshwater loss since 2002, driven by climate change, unsustainable groundwater use, and extreme droughts. New findings from 2 decades of satellite imagery reveal the emergence of 4 continental-scale mega-drying regions. drying areas on land are expanding at a rate roughly twice the size of California every year. And the rate at which dry areas are getting drier now outpaces the rate at which wet areas are getting wetter, reversing long-standing hydrological patterns. 75% of the world's population lives in 101 countries that have been losing fresh water for the past 22 years. The four continental scale mega drying regions include Southwestern North America and Central America. This region includes major food producing regions across the American Southwest. Alaska and Northern Canada. This region includes melting alpine glaciers in Alaska and British Columbia, snow and permafrost melting across the Canadian high latitudes, and drying in major agricultural regions such as British Columbia and Saskatchewan. Northern Russia. This region is experiencing major snow and permafrost melting across the high latitudes. And Middle East, North Africa, Pan-Eurasia. This region includes major desert cities, including Dubai, Casablanca, Cairo, Baghdad, and Tehran. Major food-producing regions, including Ukraine, Northwest India, and China's North China Plain region. The shrinking Caspian and Aral Seas, and major cities such as Barcelona, Paris, Berlin, Dhaka, and Beijing. And hear the sound of groundwater.
I traveled to Des Moines, Iowa to support a group of people called Occupy the World Food Prize. Occupy the World Food Prize is as old as Occupy Wall Street. It's 5 years old. Now, what is the World Food Prize? They call it Monsanto's Oscars. The State Capitol Building of Iowa, which is in the center of Des Moines, a gold-domed Greek Revival amazing building on the top of this hill that overlooks Des Moines, that overlooks Iowa. In that State Capitol Building, a party takes place, an awards ceremony sponsored by Syngenta, Bayer, and Monsanto, and Cargill Seed Company, which is a subsidiary of Monsanto, and their bankers and their lawyers and their investors. And so I joined Occupy Food Prize protesters. Occupy the World Food Prize was about 200 yards, way down to the bottom of this hill. 200 yards from the front door. You couldn't see the people going to the party. Although there was one predator who walked by us in a suit. And if that wasn't far enough away, for good measure, they hired the Iowa State University marching band. 76 trombones led the big parade. 110 cornets just behind. So we stood there down on something that was euphemistically called People's Park, a little sidewalk area, and we were surrounded by Iowa State troopers. They told us we couldn't cross the street. We'd have to stay in quote-unquote People's Park. And we started preaching to each other. We started speaking to each other. We had a lot of signs about Monsanto's Roundup, about glyphosate, about Iowa being the most glyphosated, sprayed upon state of the union with its high cancer rates and its children all sick. And here are these corporations that have bought the government, that have taken over the complete government building. Even the Supreme Court of Iowa is in that building. It's corporation as government, and government as corporation. It's corruption. That's what I was telling the state troopers after we crossed the street. And they just smiled at me and my friend Father Frank Cordero, from the pipeline activist, and then next to him, our friend Rick Prettyman, Rick, homeless activist. The three of us were assuming the position pretty quickly. We amused the state troopers, but we were in handcuffs. And we were led away, pushed into their cars, wearing the handcuffs. And as we drove out of the Capitol grounds, I looked up into the old oak trees. And because I knew the glyphosates had been sprayed on them and on the grass here and all the shrubbery and all the... I wondered if I had inhaled glyphosates while I was protesting. Then all of a sudden, I remember that trees, when sunlight comes into the leaf of a tree and photosynthesizes into energy, Western science, the researchers have discovered that that energy can go to anywhere in the tree. Instantaneously, it's as if the tree has defeated distance. It's as if the tree has perfect lubrication. There's no resistance at all. That sunlight can go to the bottom of the root, down into the ground, up to the another leaf, down the trunk. That energy can go everywhere at once. That's what I need in my preaching. I need the energy to go everywhere at once. From me out to the people listening to me and back to me. Earthaluya. How do we talk about this?
Earthaluya.
I'm Javin, and I play keyboards and sing in Young Pacific.
I'm Nathaniel. I play guitar and sing in Dead Soft.
Since moving to BC, I've been a huge fan of Emily Carr's art.
I wrote a lot of it on the road. That was our first real tour.
What role do you think time plays in transforming something into art?
We've arrived at sexual maturity as a band.
The Arts Show, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.